good to be with the saints this morning. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would with me, go to verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Boy, I'll tell you what. How are you guys doing today? What did I say, 1 Corinthians, didn't I? How about 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Let's close in a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9, where we read, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be what? Let's close in a word of prayer. Now, let's pray. Let's try that again. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity that we have this morning to come together to study your word. As we take that time this morning, may the things which are said and done bring all glory, honor, and respect to you. Absolutely no glory, honor, and respect for us, because what you've done for us, we truly did not deserve. We thank you for that and what you've done. We pray this through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Some time ago, began a study when we were still meeting in the other building, which that day's coming. It's coming back. We'll go back. Began a study in trying to find out who exactly we are. And there's a lot of conversation that can be done about this, because there is a marvelous work, of course, that we recognize here that Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary's cross. Because of him, we are in a position that we are. And what I found as I listened to the radio or I listened to the television set and I turn on it, Sunday morning, I typically go out when I'm making breakfast, and the girls know I turn radio on because I want to listen to the people who are evangelical and what they're teaching. And as I listen to it, it breaks my heart because they really, truly don't understand what we have. And what we should do is come to a full appreciation and understanding on what it is that we have become. And again, as we read that verse just a few moments ago and in the prayer that we discussed, it's all honor, glory, and respect going to who? To Jesus Christ. It's all about, it really is all about him. So I thought, you know what, let's sit down and let's discuss who we are. And we began a study over there, and we got about 3 or 4 weeks into it until we stopped because of the renovation that's going on there. And we thought, you know what, let's see who we are. So I went and I very simply got Strong's Concordance out. This is a hard study to put together. Get Strong's Concordance out and look under two words, I am. That's all I needed to do. And I sat down and I started writing the verses because I want to find out who I am. And what I found looking at this are 58 places where it talks about who I am. And guess who I am? Christ. Everything that personifies him is now personified in me. I have been transformed from a sinner to a saint. So what we're going to look at briefly this morning is look at about 36, quickly I'll mention them, 36 things that I have become. And again, when I listen to these preachers that are on the radio or on the television set, oftentimes I hear about praise, honor, and glory belonging to the guy speaking because he's just so wonderful. I prefer to go by what Scripture teaches. And what does the Scripture teach? It has how much to do with me? Who does all praise, glory, honor, and respect belong to? Christ. You ready? Here we go. I am Galatians 2:20, crucified with Christ. I am Colossians 2:12, buried and risen with Christ. Colossians 2:13, I am alive with Christ. Ephesians 2:6, I am ascended with Christ. Where is he now? Guess who else is there seated with him? Now, can you see that? But where do you know it to be a fact? Because it's mentioned where? In his scripture, in his holy word. I am seated with Christ, Ephesians 2:6. In case I didn't say, Ephesians 2:6 again, I'm ascended with Christ. I am, Romans 8:17, joint heirs with Christ. Ephesians 4:6, I am indwelt by the Father. Colossians 1:27 and Galatians 2:20, I am indwelt by the Son. Christ lives where? In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who I am. It's all about him. I am indwelt by the Son. I am indwelt by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I, because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all live and reside inside of me, what have I become? You ever read about the temple of God? Remember in the Old Testament where the temple was? Where was the temple? In a building. But who is the temple now? And I'm somebody special. No, I'm not. It's all about who? I am beloved of God. Romans 1:7. That's also, by the way, found in Matthew 3. This is my beloved Son and who I am what? When he looks at us now. Are we the beloved of God? Is he well pleased with us because of what we've become? And how much glory goes to me? Nothing. I am a saint, Romans 1:7. Do I look like a saint to you? I'm 63 years old. My body's falling apart. Trust me. I'll tell you about it sometime. But guess what I am? I'm a saint. I am sanctified. I have been declared righteous. Not because of me, but because of him. I am Romans 6:2 and 11, as well as Colossians 2:13. I am dead to sin. Sin is dead. It's no longer an issue. I am no longer a sinner. I am, we went over a second ago, a what? Saint. I am under grace, Romans 6:14. I am eternal. I am free from condemnation. I am a son of God. Do I look like a son of God to you? I'm going to say he sure changed himself. I'm a son of God. I am foreknown. I am predestined. It was predetermined in time past that God was going to come up. Tracy just talked about this terrific plan about how everything was going to be reconciled in heaven and on earth, even in who? Him. I am conformed. I am called. I am justified. I am glorified. I am more than a conqueror. Do I look like a conqueror to you? Just laughed and discussed about how my body's falling apart. But I'm a conqueror. I'm in fellowship. Two fellows in one ship, right? Bad joke. But who am I in fellowship with now? Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, these three are, and we are in him. We are washed, we are sanctified, we are members of his body. Man, that blows my mind. Does it look like I'm members of his body? But am I? Because what says it is? I am victorious. Do I look victorious to you? I'm Bob. Robert. The only time I got called Robert when I was a kid was I was in trouble. Robert! Uh-oh. Bet you heard that too, didn't you? That's the other Bob here. Spell his name backwards. What's it spell? Pretty simple, right? I am triumphant. Celebrate a victory. Philadelphia won the Super Bowl here not too long ago. Did they party? Were they triumphant? Guess who else is triumphant? I didn't play for Philadelphia, but I am a member of the team of Jesus Christ. It's all because of him, nothing because of me. I am a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:18. I am reconciled. I am restored to friendship and fellowship. They went over a lot of stuff in those few weeks, didn't we? I am an 2 Corinthians 5:20. What's 2 Corinthians 5:20? Who can remember? Atta girl. She got a cheat sheet. Cheat sheets are okay here. So I got a Bible here that I still use, and I still laugh about it and talk about it. The wife got me one for Christmas a few years ago. I'll use it at nighttime for evening studies, but when I do this lesson, guess where I go? Old Reliable, because I know 2 Corinthians 5 is here. Okay? I am the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Isn't it amazing what we become? And it's all because of him. And nothing to do with me. The important thing is to find out what we become. Because once we find out what we become, that should motivate us to do what we become. If I'm an ambassador for Christ, is it a good idea for me to be an ambassador? Yes. If it says that I am reconciled, am I to look at myself in complete friendship and fellowship with Jesus Christ? If it says I am justified, that I'm declared righteous, is it pay me to live a justified life? Because God looked at me and said, Bob, you're just. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we started this morning. Look at what, begin here, what we've become. What have we become? 2 Corinthians again, chapter 8, and verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? Did Jesus Christ become poor? It says so in that verse. How did he become poor? Was he always the Son of God? Always has existed, always has, always will. Top dog, so to speak. No, there's not a verse that says he's top dog. I made that up. But he was rich. He's God, always has been God, always will be God. Yet he became poor. What did he do? Did he go to Calvary's cross? Did he shed his blood for forgiveness of sins for all of us? Did he have to do that for himself? But who did he do it for? Us. For the guy walking over on the road over there, he did it for him too. Doesn't mean that he accepted that. But did he die for that guy? And as a result, that ye through his poverty might be what? Guess what, guys? Gals? We're rich. We're rich. Again, I say, do I look rich to you? I have a 2011 Suzuki SX4. You get in that car and look at it. Does that car look like we're rich, Judy? But guess what? Are you rich? Mary Jane, are you rich? You're rich. You have everything. You possess all. In spite of what the sight spring. You've been taken out from sin and declared a saint. You are in his eyes perfect. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know, and as we said, who else is beloved? We are. Did we deserve it? But do we have it? serving him. Isn't that cool? Isn't that glorious? I am rich. Well, how am I rich? Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13. How did we get all this? Christ hath, verse 13, redeemed us. Are we redeemed? What is redemption? You're bought back out of sin. Sin is no longer a factor. Sin has been dealt with at Calvary. He shed his blood. Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We are redeemed. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is no more a factor. I'll tell you what, that I can remember still, and I talk about this frequently. What did I believe before I started coming here? I joke all the time and do the, my father can beat your father, Tom, and who is all a man? I heard a chuckle. You know, I used to believe in religion. I believed that my religion would save me. How much did my religion save me? What did they try to put me continually under the what? Law. Guess how well I was able to perform that law? I discuss it, again, all the time. I remember going to the confessional, confessing my sins when I was in that church. 10 minutes later, guess what I was doing that I said I would never do again? I sinned. What did that prove me that I was? A sinner. The law took me and redeemed me from that law. Christ, rather, redeemed me and saved me from that law. That law would never save me. Never, ever, ever, ever. No matter how hard I try, I failed miserably. I am reconciled. I am redeemed. Galatians 5, verse number, or 4, rather, verse number 5. I'm having trouble this morning. Galatians 4, verse number 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of what? You know, you're the adoption of sons. What does adoption, what's this talking about in reference to? You have been taken, I have been taken, and we've been made a full-grown adult son of God. You have been taken and given the adoption, a full-grown mature adult. I remember when my parents were raising us, there was four of us kids. You know what they would tell us all the time? Stop acting like a child. You're not a child anymore. Michael, my brother, you're a big boy. You're a full-grown adult. Act like one. Robert, you're a full-grown adult. Act like one. Be one. You're no more a child. You're an adult. You know what he's telling us here? Because you are sons, God sent forth of the Son, or the Spirit of the Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through who? It's all about who? It's all about him. How much about me? See it over and over and over again, don't we? We are full-grown, mature, adult sons of God, live like one. We're adults. We've received the adoption of sons. Galatians 5. What else am I? Galatians 5, verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of what? You know what he's telling us here? You know what else we've become? We're free. the law put us in bondage. Again, going back to my former life, when I was still a Roman Catholic and believed in that. Remember, I wanted to be a priest one day. Father Bob, oh boy, not good. But here, what this passage is showing us is that I am free from the law. What did that law prove? That I was a what? Law proved me conclusively as a sinner. When I went into the confession box and I made a list of all my sins and I did all these things that the priest told me to do, and I left and I convinced myself I was never going to do it again. 10 minutes went by, and guess what I did? The exact same thing I did 11 minutes before. Was I a sinner? But Christ looked at me, and he says to me, Bob, you've been redeemed. You have been declared a saint. Pretty cool, you're a saint. You get these guys now that try to say that the church has a right to tell you who becomes a saint. Like St. Dwayne, right? You saint? Because your church says you are, or because Christ says you are? It's all about him. It's nothing about me. I am free. I have freedom. Galatians 5, stand fast in the liberty. You're not under bondage anymore. How's it feel? We just recently had some people from another country that were released. And they're free. And they're going home. How do you think they feel? Pretty good, right? You're free. Bill? You're free. Galatians 5 again. Verse number 13. For brethren, as ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love do what? Now that you're free, don't use that freedom to live in your flesh. What do you do instead? By love do what to one another? I will never forget. Last couple years, I've had some things for the body of Paul Park that we laugh about now. But I will never forget all the cards we got. People made us food. People made sure the bills were paid for. You know what that is, my love? What were you doing for me? Serving me. Making sure I was all right. Get a phone call. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Just want to see how you are. Everything all right? Hey, did you watch the Pirates last night? Boy, were they terrible. It has nothing to do with this study, but you were making sure I was taken care of. And I appreciate that from my heart. Like you'll never imagine. Ephesians 1. What else have I become? I figured I better look at my watch. I realize I'm up here rambling, and I don't want to go up here and have it be about a quarter after one. And I have learned a couple of important things. When you're on a timetable, go by the timetable. The second thing I say is a joke. I hope you laugh. The mind can only handle what the butt can endure. Yeah, he really is as goofy as he sounds. I've been this way for 63 years. There's no sense changing now, right? But look and see what you've become. And live like that. Ephesians 1, as we were saying before I got sidetracked. Ephesians 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual places and earthly places in Christ, right? You know what you are, though? You're blessed. I'm going to pick on her. Guess what? You're blessed. Hey, those are pretty colors. That's Easter-y. I like that. Guess what, guys? Have you been blessed? Let's look at it. You were a sinner. You were an enemy of God. Do you realize we were enemies with Him when we were in sin? Now all of a sudden you've been transformed from a sinner to a son. You're called the beloved of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And by the way, are you sons of God? Mm-hmm. Did we deserve it? Do we have it? Are we blessed? You know, you look at a life, and you often hear times hear people go, well, you must have done something because God is angry at you because look at what's... I've been taken out of sin and made a saint. Lord looks at me and says, Bob, I know you got a rough time sometimes, but you know what, buddy? Hang on there because I got a place for you to work for me for all of eternity. And there's nothing you can ever do to lose that. Wow. Amazing. Brilliant. What a genius he is. No wonder Satan looked at these bodies of flesh and thought, these are the guys who are going to beat me. Guess what? Who won and who lost? Christ won, and we win as a result of Him. And guess who the loser is? Little Lucifer. He's going down. We are blessed. Ephesians 1:4. According as He hath chosen us in who? We are chosen in Him. There it is. It's all about Him. It's nothing about me. Nothing. Ephesians 1:4 again. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be... You're holy. Every one of us is holy. Bob, you're holy. And I don't mean holy cow either. Right? You're holy in His sight. His lovely bride sitting to His side, guess what she is? Holy. The nice lady sitting next to Him with the hearts all over her sweater, which is a cute sweater. You're holy. Even that guy sitting behind the camera is holy. Did he deserve it? But does he have it? We sit here and we get all caught up in our life and we think, oh, woe is me. Well, guess what? He went through agony and pain like we cannot fathom. He was separated from the Father. And He shed His blood so that we would have all the study was really that hard to get. I got a concordance. I opened it up and went to I and I went to the other word named M and Zazam. There it was. He was the genius that came up with this plan. Holy cow. Ephesians 1:4 again. Let's look at it. What a verse this is. According to He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without what? before him in what? We are holy. We are without blame. Oh, Judy, it's your fault. You ever go to a... There's one time I was called into the courthouse to be a juror. And you know what that one guy tried to show to the other person? That they were at what? Fault. Then the facts were laid out. Guess what happened? Guess who was found at fault? The guy that says, I'm without blame. Do you have any blame on you any longer? Wasn't the law there to show that we were a sinner? And because of that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we're given forgiveness? Complete forgiveness. Complete. I'm without blame. Ephesians 1:6. We're doing this, trying to do this quickly. It might be something we do for a study another day. That's fine. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us what? Accepted. Did I deserve to be accepted in him? What did I deserve? You ever hear of this thing called the lake of fire? Lake of fire is not... You know, you talk about hell, and honestly, from what I can see, and you might be able to prove me wrong, I don't think so. I think the scripture is pretty clear. Hell makes the lake of fire look like a Sunday school picnic. Did I say that backwards? Hell is not a good place, but it's not as bad as the lake of fire. How about that? The lake of fire is complete misery. Hell is no picnic. It's not. The lake of fire is far worse. And you know what he says? You have no blame. You're accepted in the beloved. Verse number 6. He has made us accepted in the beloved. This is my beloved son in whom I am. Are you a son of God? Wow. Absolutely brilliant. Ephesians 1. Wow, what a chapter. Someday you could do a study in the book of Ephesians and only take about 87 years. That part was an exaggeration, obviously. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. You trusted in Christ. That's the end of verse number 12, by the way. You see that? After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of what? You were sealed by the moment any one of us, including the guy in that car out there, I hope. What I hope and pray is that you've heard the gospel, you've heard about that shed blood of Jesus Christ, you've trusted that finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary as payment for your sin, you accepted that, he willingly and freely gave us everything. And the Holy Spirit came down and he said, you know what? I see that. I know my job is to seal this. I seal it. Once that was sealed, can you ever lose it? I remember back, it's not like my dad, but I remember when I was a boy. My mother and dad can. They have these shelves down in the basement. They went into the basement one day, and Dad reached behind. I think it was my dad. Obviously, it was my mother, one of the two. Picked up some green beans that were grown in the garden. And they looked on the lid, because on the lid they wrote the day that they sealed that thing. You know, it was sealed like 10 years before. How did that happen? They said. How did we let that sit on there for 10 years? How did we miss that? That question was never answered. But you know what? Dad looked at that and said, you know what? Told my mother. Mother's name is Ruth. Ruth, cook them up. Let's see what happens. That sealing, guess how good those beans were, or those green beans, I should say. Guess how good they were. They were perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. There was a sealing when they put that thing together. And even though that thing was 10 years old, it tasted like it was just put in that jar yesterday. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Can you lose what you've been given? I can screw up royally and choose to look at my flesh, and I'm not encouraging you to do that. I'm not. But if I chose not to look at what I become, can I lose my salvation? Can what I do, can that be burned up, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Yeah. But I can't lose my salvation. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit says, I promise you, looking at that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I accept that sacrifice. I see that you believe it. You went by faith into it. You're sealed. You can never lose it. Never. Ephesians chapter 2. Where we see in Ephesians 2, verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved through what? What saves me? The grace of God. What is grace? Isn't grace definition the unmerited favor of God? I am saved by grace through faith by resting and trusting in that finished work of Christ at Calvary. It's yours. You are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of who? You've been given a gift. Oh my. What a gift. And all it did was cost Jesus Christ his life. What a brilliant plan. What a genius plan. Ephesians 2, verse number 10, trying to move quickly. For we are his what? Is it anything to do with me? Again, I say it has all to do with who? Christ. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we, what's that word, should walk in them. Again, I say, is it your decision whether or not you choose to live a life based on who you come? Yes, that's your choice. But looking at what we be given, should we not walk in them? As this verse here just states in the end of verse number 10. Isn't it my reasonable service, the verse says, is it not my reasonable service to serve him? Lord, you died for me on Calvary's cross. You saved me from eternal damnation. You've given me the gift of eternal life. I am your beloved son in whom you are well pleased, and I sure as heck didn't deserve that. In light of what you've done for me, should I not but want to serve you? Just look at what I have been given. And I deserve nothing. I am his workmanship. He transformed me and made me the temple of God. Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians 2, verse number 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of who? Who made the household of God? You are fellow citizens with the saints. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. How brilliant is that? Look at all we've been given. Look at what we have in Christ. We've been delivered from darkness, and we are declared his workmanship and fellow citizens. And because of it, Colossians 1, and we'll finish here. Colossians 1, verse number 13. Colossians 1, 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us unto the kingdom of who? His dear Son. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. You know, we were talking about hell and the lake of fire a little while ago. Was that the power of darkness on display? Hell and the power of darkness? But we've been delivered from that. And we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Everything he has, I have been given. Don't go there for time's sake. Complete, we are complete in him. Colossians 2, verse number 10. By the way, what's complete mean? That it's what? Finished. It's done. Nothing else necessary. We are circumcised without hands, Colossians 2, 11. We have been forgiven all sins, Colossians 2, 13. We are the elect, Colossians 3, 12. By the way, who was the elect, according to Isaiah? Christ Jesus was elect. Guess who else is elect? We are. We are delivered from the wrath to come. We are not appointed under wrath. We are saved. We have peace with God. We have received the atonement. We have the mind of Christ. Where does the mind of Christ work, by the way? In what? In the Scripture. We have all spiritual blessings. We have obtained an inheritance. We have laid up for us a hope in heaven. We are a part of his holy calling. This is what we have. This is what we become. So what I would encourage all of us, including the guy speaking to himself, because one thing that I have noticed, when you put a lesson together, guess what else you do when you put a lesson together? What do you start doing? Learning it. Yourself. Let's look at what we've become. Let's see what he's given us freely by his grace and live a life pleasing to him, because that is our reasonable service. Let's do it. And let's fellowship one with another and rejoice in what we've been given by him. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time we've had to come together to study the Word. We recognize and appreciate all that you've done for us. May we, in light of what it is that we've become in you, may we, as our reasonable service, serve you, and let all praise, glory, and adoration go to you, not through us. For it is through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.